This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
You're listening to the Christian War Room, and we are looking at the whole issue of the LGBT agenda, which tries to force its indoctrination upon our children through the state educational systems. We have to have a look at this, and we've got one speaker here from Texas Mass Resistance. And the speaker is very, very well versed in what she's talking about, so stay tuned and listen to the talk here on the Christian War Room, in the Christian War Room.
I'm going to tell you my story in a nutshell, and then I'm going to tell you some things that I've experienced along this journey that maybe you didn't or haven't heard yet. But like you said, and I also want to say that if you're a person in education right now and you're in this room, I'm very thankful for you being here. I have not actually been able to connect with other, except this weekend, with someone else who would be in education like myself. So thank you for coming. I taught for over 20 years, in and out of different schools, moving around with my husband. But the last 11 years, I was in Austin ISD. We do have one school district in Austin that covers the whole city. And at the beginning of the 2015 that in 2016 year, that's when I was teaching pre-K there at that school. And our faculty was trained in the Welcoming Schools program. If you've never heard of it, it's an anti-bullying program. They say it's not a curriculum, it's a program that celebrates diversity and requires inclusivity by abolishing children's and teachers' biased notions of family and gender norms. Welcoming Schools claims that it is creating safe and supportive environments for all students, which is taught to students as young as 4 years old. It affirms same-sex marriage parenting, gay and lesbian relationships, and transgenderism. And it's funded by the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBT political lobby organization in the U.S. And for the first time in 9 years at Odom, we would be spending 6 hours of training over a non-academic topic. And I was really confused about this because at Odom Elementary, we are a Title I school. And if you know anything about the Title I program, that means that you have a predominant population that is economically disadvantaged. In other words, in poverty. And so we struggle with every subject area, reading, writing, math, and science, everything. And so usually the year would begin where you're talking about your testing scores, right? Remember all those tests you guys take? Well, that's what we do. When we go back to school the week before you guys do, we sit down and we strategize and talk about how to bridge the gaps academically. How did third grade do? How did fifth grade do? How did seventh grade do? How did ninth grade do in math, reading, and science, and writing? Well, instead, we were going to spend 6 sessions in Welcoming Schools. We didn't hear anything about academics. So as the year progressed, I asked the trainers a lot of questions. Why are we doing this program? Your principal requested the program, they said. And I told them, I said, this doesn't make sense to me because we already have No Place for Hate. That's an anti-bullying program that Austin and many cities in Texas and around the country are using. We didn't particularly emphasize any community. It was respect for everyone, treating everyone fairly the way you want to be treated, and there were no exceptions. So I was confused about that. And I asked them another question. I said, is there a letter to inform the parents? And they said, no. No, we haven't talked about that. And that was a real problem for me because the families I served had come to see me an advocate for their children and their academic future because a lot of my parents were young, obviously, because they have four-year-old children, and because most of them were immigrants. And they wanted to see their kids succeed, but they just didn't know where to begin. They didn't know how to start, many of themselves not finishing school. and being illiterate in the English language. So that was a problem for me, and they trusted me. And now I felt I was being trained to circumvent their family's values without them knowing. And so I asked another question, well, how are we going to teach these lessons? And they said, well, you're going to simply roll it into the social-emotional learning time, which is a character education. You know, when you're teaching kids to share and cooperate, that's the time you're going to roll these in. So let me tell you about one of the other sessions that we had. As the pre-K through fifth grade teachers that we were being instructed to come up with a definition for the word homosexual that our students could understand. And we had to be able to explain it to our students and to say that gay love was beautiful. We were informed that our library would be filled with books like this one. This one's targeted toward, This book is targeted toward early childhood up to second grade, okay? And so this book, Jacob's New Dress, is a book that celebrates a little boy that wants to wear dresses to school. And so when he gets to school, one day he finally does. His parents say, okay, you can wear this dress to school. And so the teacher, they're sitting around and they're having their little story time, as teachers do in early childhood classrooms. And she says, oh, this is wonderful. She tells all the students that this is wonderful. So, this is another book. It's called It's Perfectly Normal. And this is a book, let me tell you what's in this book. This is an elementary school book. It's a graphically illustrated book, as you can see. It has promiscuity, homosexual exploration, sexual intercourse, street language, masturbation techniques, abortion as an escape from unwanted pregnancy, and this book is targeted for 9 and 10-year-olds. So these books would be specially marked on the shelves, and we were to encourage our students to check them out. And, oh, by the way, if you're in middle high school or if you're in a young adult, you might recognize this one. This was a super popular book that I just discovered, but it's been around since you were in high school. This is the Mark series. This is a popular vampire series. And in the storyline, do y'all remember that the girls were really into this in high school, in middle school? And this is a book that has a storyline that includes having sex in the hallways, having sex with your teachers in the storyline. So these are in the libraries, and I didn't even know this. And, I didn't know about the middle school and high school until they were giving us the elementary books, of course. And our principal, Ms. Sandra McWilliams, even told us, don't call the girls girls anymore, and don't call the boys boys anymore. So I knew something, of course, was very wrong. And she said this would make us an inclusive campus. Now, I'm going to tell you an example of a training that I went to, but this didn't happen till the fifth training. So we're almost over, right? This is about March of the school year. And she said, I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation, the trainer said, and I want you to move around the room. So imagine you're the faculty and you're in this meeting. This is about how many people were there, actually, in my whole campus. This is the whole school represented. And she said, put it this way. She says, you're a teacher and you walk into the lounge, right? And the lounge is where you eat your lunch, right? She says, you walk into the lounge and there are two teachers sitting at the table over here having their lunch, and you overhear a conversation they're having, and one says to the other, oh, that's why Johnny has so many problems, because he has two moms. And so the trainer said, now I want you to think about that, and I want you to move around the room as I give you some options of what you can do. And she said, okay, now if you hear that conversation, what that person just said, and you want help, you want to know what to do, and you want an administrator's help, go stand over there by that tree. The second option B, she said, if you are going to go straight to that teacher and you're going to confront them about what they said about Johnny having two moms, then go stand over there at that tree. And then the third option was, if you're not going to do anything about it and you're just going to mind your own business, go over there to that side of the room. So can you imagine? I knew they were gauging our commitment to the program. And they wanted to see where we would stand on this. And I remember, I couldn't betray my own conscience. I thought I could lie. I could do where I knew they were going to go. And for a split second, that's exactly what I thought, right? But I couldn't do it. So there I was, with two other people on that side of the room, looking at everybody else, and they looking at us. So I walked over, you know, I walked away from my teaching career of over 20 years, not knowing if I was ever going to be able to teach again. And I thought, well, I'm quitting this job, and I'm going to go reinvent myself, and this is going to be my last hurrah, and I still have some life left in me, and I'm going to find something else to do. And then God had other plans. You know? Yeah. So on June the 22nd, last year, and it already feels like an eternity, I emailed some organizations, and I was looking for help on what to do, because I could not sleep. I'm thinking, here are all these parents, they're friends of mine. Do you know that I went to birthday parties? I did the unpardonable sin in teaching. Go to the parties they invite you to. Because as soon as you go to one, you got to go to all of them. Right? And so there I am at my fifth party of the year. And I had never done that before. And these parents took me in. And they started, you know, coming and visiting me, and when they went to their kids went to middle school, then they came back to the school campus to visit me, and I had their siblings, and so now I still to this day I can go to one of my kids' parties because they all live in the same apartment complex, and I can see 14 of my students all at once. I'm even in some wedding portraits. Can you believe that? I'm going, I don't need to be, this is a wedding, I don't need to be in your portraits. But that's how special these kids had come to me. And so I couldn't sleep at night. I'm saying, these families don't know. These parents don't know. So I helped put out this article. And I was interviewed for the Texan, the Southern Baptists of Texas conference here. And we did research for 5 months. And she said, don't say anything. Don't say anything. We're doing this article. And I'm thinking, a month goes by. Another month goes by. And to me, that felt like, they still don't know. And the months are going by. And I understood we were doing this research and that was critical to what we were doing, but it was not enough in that it wasn't getting to the public in Austin. So then I went to the internet and I found Brian Kamiker. Where's Brian? Is he in here? Well, he's taping. He's doing all that around. And let me tell you, I will be eternally grateful for Brian at Mass Resistance. And he put me in touch with Dr. Robert Lopez, who we call Bobby. And Mass Resistance Texas was born in December, just December 2016. So under his direction, some God-fearing people that are here today and not here today, we had a conference in Austin and on April the 1st. And we had some experts come in. And these are all things I didn't know. I don't know this stuff. I'm just, you know, I've become the student. I'm learning what's going on. And we found out from Tom Littleton out of Alabama. He's a human rights expert. He knows all about them. He told us, he says, well, did you know that in Texas, the Human Rights Campaign has opened offices all around your state to get into your schools, to get at a legislative level? He says, did you know that they are pouring over $8 million into infiltrating the churches? And things start to make sense, people, when you hear that. So we had that April 1st event, but parents still didn't know. You know why? Because only a brave few people came to that thing. And so then with Mass Resistance Texas people in Austin, we continued our efforts, and one of our team, she made this flyer. And you can't read it, and I don't expect you to read it, but let me tell you what it says. It tells exactly what's happening in the school, and it tells what comprehensive sex education is all about. And we went to 1,500 houses with my church, the bravest people on earth, the most loving people on earth. Half of them I don't even think knew what they were helping me with. We went to 1,500 doors and we put these papers on their doors. We leafleted their houses. And guess what? All of a sudden, everybody wanted to know what was going on in Austin. And so here comes KVU News. And the phone is ringing off the hook, right? And parents are mad. And we're getting lots of hate mail. And everybody wants a piece of what's going on. So we held some public meetings at a library. Okay? Now, if you look at this map, we even mapped where these programs are in Austin so we would strategically know what was going on. Why are they in these schools? Why are these not in other parts of Austin? Why have these schools been targeted? Okay? We started to expose things like Pride Week. AISD has a whole week of Pride Week that they celebrate. 5 days just on this issue. Parents started to speak up, and I heard they changed it to Color Day. And actually, they did that in elementary as well. Go to the campuses. You'll see markers everywhere for the agenda and for the movement. Look at your schools. Look at your districts. Go to their websites. We also found out that this spring, 2018, Austin says they're going to bring in sex education starting in kindergarten, so that they can do kindergarten through 12th grade now, not just middle school and high school, but they're going to bring it in for four-year-olds. Because whatever happens in kindergarten trickles down to the four-year-old program. I know, because that's what I taught. And they will tell us, okay, you modify it, but you will give it to your four-year-olds as well. And by the way, I don't even call it comprehensive sex education. That's the real name for it. I call it comprehensive sexualization education. And the Advocates for Youth are the ones, that model of that organization that has to do with population control, that started as population control, they're the ones who have created this free curriculum called the 3 R's that Austin is going to model their program after. And I don't know what this is doing. It's okay. So let me tell you this. In elementary school, for instance, in this program, and I can't go back to it, but if David can, we can get back to it. It says this program would teach a second grade child, that's an eight-year-old, right, that there are some body parts that mostly just have girl parts. Now let that sink in. Now if you're a boy, there are some body parts that are mostly boy parts. That's part of teaching an eight-year-old. Or when you're 9 and 10, the program teaches you where to go for information, right? So go to the school library, go to the school nurse, if you have one, or go to a doctor, or go to the internet. But you, parents, are not mentioned. It's after that. Going next. Next. Yeah, that's fine. I don't need the rest. So I'm going to finish with this. I want to tell you that AISD does continue to do Pride Week. It does continue to invite children to the city Pride Week. Have y'all seen what those look like? They tell teachers to invite children to go. They actually, this past year, took kids on buses and their families to go to the city Pride Week. Because you see, in Austin, there are parents that wholeheartedly agree with this agenda. They are not busy at church, in Sunday school, Bible classes, youth groups, singles ministries, or worship teams. They don't give their time, talents, and treasures like you do. They don't do that. They do not understand yet that the picture of the gospel as seen when a man and a woman come together and they live out their Christian faith for a watching world to see. Nor do they understand that God's institution of marriage is sacred, or that every one of us has been fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, right? They, and let me tell you who they are. They would rather that laws that are in place to protect the most vulnerable of us, our children, be abolished. And they, that all of your children would engage in behaviors and lifestyles that yield disease and have spiritually negative consequences. Those are the people. Okay? It says here that those same people that are pushing this agenda, they are proponents of the comprehensive sexualization education. They go to PTA meetings. They go to the SHAC meetings. They're on the board. They're on the school boards. And you know what? They're counting on you, the faith community, to stay in your church walls. That's what they're counting on. They're counting on pastors and faith leaders to bury their heads in the sand, like the pastor said, so as not to offend anyone. And you say, well, how do you know this? Because I've been working with pastors. I was going to tell you a little bit about the journey since I first started doing this. It reminds me, I'm going to tell you about two experiences with pastors. I went to a church and sat down, and this pastor gave me 30 minutes of his precious time. Because I always go into churches. I started a church in my house. I'm very closely connected to what churches do. And I sat with him and I said, Pastor, would you give me a moment of your time? He gave me 30 minutes. That's a lot. He sat with me and we talked, and it was cordial and it was kind and it was respectful. And when I told him what I had discovered in AISD and what I was doing, I said, Pastor, the house is on fire. You need to tell your people so they can decide what they want their kids to learn. You know what he said to me? He said, I can't align myself with your organization. I said, Pastor, I'm not asking you to align yourself with Mass Resistance Texas. I'm asking you to tell your people so that they can know. And he said, I would rather err on the side of love than truth. That's what he told me. So I thanked him for his time, and I left. And then another time I went to another church, but this time I went to one of those, you know, big mega churches. It wasn't really my intention to just stop in, but if you know Oak Meadow Baptist Church, where I go to church with these lovely people here, my family, we are one of those churches like maybe your church. Everybody's welcome. Everybody treats you like family. And if they don't know you, you know, tomorrow you're practically related. So I plop into this mega church, but that church was not strange to me. I had been a member there 24 years before. I had actually sent them emails to tell them about this situation and that I wanted to meet with them. So you know what they did? They profiled me at the door because they have a camera. They profiled me at the door and they sent me to the benevolence portable. And when I was walking with that godly elderly man to the benevolence portable, I thought, where is this person taking me? And then I thought, okay, just go with it. So I walked to the benevolence portable and I walked in. He said, "What? Do you want some money? Do you want some stuff?" And I said, sir, I'm not here for stuff. I said, I'm here to talk to someone in regard to this organization and something that's going on in the schools. And I said, and I'll be honest with you, I said, Dr. Patterson sent me. Because I thought maybe they'd listen to me. And actually, he did. So they took me back to the office. We walked back to the main building. We went inside. I sat down in a chair and I waited for about 10 minutes. This lady came out and she said, she stood there. I stood up and I said, hello. And she said, just because you came here doesn't mean that you can talk to somebody without an appointment. And I thought to myself, is this a church? That was in my mind. I was like, is this a church? Where am I? And she says, we know who you are. And I said, okay. And she says, and we'll get back. And I said, well, can I talk to somebody? I don't care who I talk to. I was just in the area. I just thought I'd drop by. She says, no, we're very busy on Tuesday. I said, well, I'll talk to, she says, I'm the assistant to the pastor. I said, well, I don't have to talk to the pastor. I know that he's very, can I talk to you? She said, no. She says, we'll get back with you. And I have yet to wait. It's been over 2 months to even hear from them. And I want to finish with this. These same people that have this agenda in our schools with our children, with you, young people, They and others would rather that you look the other way so that they can do as they see fit with you and your children. And why have I become now a public teacher turned student of everything LGBT? It's because I want to help. I want to help make schools safer and healthier for your children. But I'm going to end with this. The other day, I ran, this was exactly Wednesday. And I want to remind you, remember that experience when you first realized that you needed Jesus as Savior? Do you remember that moment when you got it? I haven't even shared this before. When you got that moment and you said, God, I get it, it's you. You want to forgive me. You want to make me new. This is too much. But I get it and I want it. Do you remember that moment? I had a moment like that on Wednesday because I went to a restaurant with some young women that I've been mentoring for a few years. And we get together and we have dinner from time to time. And I ran into a parent who I hadn't seen in 20 years. And she was a waitress there. And we had little kids together, but we hadn't seen each other. And she started to tell me about her three grown daughters, 38, 28, and 26. And she said, my daughters don't want to get married. My daughters don't have boyfriends. They don't even want me to talk about that. Then I talked to my best friend the next day who had told me that her daughter had told her years before, Mom, maybe I'll get married when I'm 35. But she said, I don't want children. And all of a sudden, I sat there on Wednesday night at my house, and I started sobbing like a baby. And my husband's like, what's wrong? You know? And I'm sobbing, and I said, I got it. It's the family. The gospel, the family's supposed to be a picture of the gospel. So if our kids don't marry, if our kids don't have children, they have bought into what the culture has been grooming them for, not to have a family. And I got it with all the stuff that I've been doing. Better late than never. I got it. And I said, this is too big. This is too much. No wonder nobody wants to deal with this. It's too painful. No wonder the parents I work with do it in silence and confidentially. They're afraid. It hit me. It was a Jesus moment. So won't you help? Won't you help? Thank you for being here.
That was Carol Ayala from Texas Mass Resistance. It's just a group that is looking at the impact on education. But one of the things I think which came out of this talk is that there's a very sinister ploy to try and destroy the family. Again, just to remind you, Georgia Guidestones tell us that the elite wants to reduce our population by a factor of 9? By 90%. Yeah, by 90%. Down to about half a billion people, and maybe this is one way of doing this, you know, encouraging people to not have children, to seek themselves rather than to build family and to build up the next generation. It certainly is ungodly. The Bible teaches us a different ethos. Yeah, there's no question about it. So we need to really return to a biblical ethos in our lifestyles and also promote this within society. You're listening to The Christian War Room, and here is Dale for the outro.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to The Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about The Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.